With over 200 flavor notes to discover, Woodford Reserve is more than just a spirit. It's a spectacle for the senses. Toast to 150 years of the Kentucky Derby with the best bet in bourbon. Raise a glass of Woodford Reserve on this monumental celebration.
Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Carmen and Yurko, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
All right, happy Monday. Hope you had a good weekend, everybody. We're live in our State Street studios. Watch us on our YouTube channel. Make sure you like and subscribe. YouTube.com/@Carmen and Yurko. You can also watch on Twitch. You can listen on AM1000 and the ESPN Chicago app and on FM 100.3 HD2. Lots of ways to watch and listen and learn. Yurko's back. How was golf?
It's fun, exciting. I didn't play well. Shot 94, 86, and then 97 on the final day at Sandy Pines. Four balls out of bounds will do it. When you're hitting three from the tee, it's never fun.
I mean, I heard an 86 in there. That's not so bad.
86 is pretty good. What are you going to do?
This is real
Can't
good.
Cry about it. It is what it is. Each golf adventure is something different, something to behold.
Yes, indeed.
And yesterday's golf adventure started the first hole where I put it in the midst of trees, couldn't find it, and had to reload from the tee.
That's golf.
That's the way
friend.
It works.
We have, it's a big day, a big week on tap. The NFL schedule comes out later this week. We've got a pretty cool giveaway every day this week. Yurko has been telling you about that game coming up later this summer at Notre Dame, the soccer game, the Chelsea versus Celtic.
Chelsea Celtic.
We've got a four-pack of tickets every day to give away to that event later this summer in July in beautiful South Bend on the campus of Notre Dame. So we're going to do that. I will tell you that I'm glad Peggy was in for you on Friday.
Oh, were you? You're excited about having Peggy.
I always have fun with Peggy.
She gave you the winner for the Kentucky Derby.
Well, we were talking about the Derby a little bit, and I thought more people were interested in betting the Derby than turned out to be the case. It was like I did a poll question on it.
Did you?
A Twitter poll, an X poll. And I thought it'd be at least, like at worst, I thought 50-50, Yurk. But I thought maybe
what did it finish? What did
it finish? Like 60-40. People don't bet on the Derby, like 60-40. I was surprised at that.
Well, I'd say 4 out of 10. It depends how many gamblers you have out there. Naturally, I'd say that maybe 60% of the world does not gamble.
But I don't think you have to be a gambler to maybe put a few shekels down on the Kentucky Derby. You know? I mean,
office pool where you put $5 in.
Yeah, sure, anything.
Everybody gets a horse, and then whoever wins gets the pot.
And I definitely know that we are of an older generation that I guess in a sense the Derby still means a little something. The pageantry of it all, the history of it. I like the gambling aspect of it because it's fun to make a little bit of money. But Peggy was looking over the list of names. She came across Mystic Dan. She said, well, I have a brother named Dan. That should be a wager I make.
There you go.
She said, I've never done it before. A better horse, that is. And our friend Dakota from Agency 360 sent me a note and said, hey, tell her to sign up. We'll put a bonus in there for her on the Club Hawthorne app. I said, Peggy, why don't you do that? She said, okay, I will.
And you shouldn't mention the rest of it then. How much did Peggy win then?
Well, first of all, let me tell you, when I put all of my bets together Saturday morning, I said, you know what, Peggy really, Mystic Dan, I mean, come on, you got to bet that. Peggy's brother, she's got a brother named Dan. I said, let me throw one more horse into my trifecta box. So three went in. Two, three, seven, 11, 17. Five horses, 60 combinations, $1 trifecta cost you $60.
$60.
That is a $60 wager.
$60 wager.
And do you know what the $1 trifecta paid this weekend?
$687.
$1,100.
Oh, $1,100. That's not bad.
It was.
You'll take that.
I will take it. I will be buying you gentlemen lunch one day this week, so pick
Beautiful.
A day. Sandwiches.
Tomorrow.
I'm going to be in late tomorrow, like right before the show. How about Wednesday? You guys want lunch on Wednesday?
You're going to pick them up. You're not going to have them
delivered.
Well,
no, that's true. I guess I could have them delivered. All right, maybe I will try to do it for tomorrow then.
Yeah, just make the order, have them delivered by noon.
Maybe I will. Tomorrow or Wednesday, sandwiches.
From where?
We could do Graziano's. We could do Barry.
That's
wherever
fine.
You want.
Whatever you want to do.
We'll do JP Graziano's. Okay. We did Barry last time.
I'm going to get the menu.
Yeah, we can do Wednesday. Go see your buddy.
We can do tomorrow or Wednesday.
Pick them up on your way.
Yeah. All right, we either day, one of the days. You guys good? You guys are
just trying to make it easier for you.
No, that's all right.
I'm not looking to make anything easy.
But because of the Kentucky Derby winner and hitting the trifecta, and thanks, Peggy, for Mystic Dan, I'll buy you guys lunch one day. I did text Peggy, like at 6:05. I said, please tell me you bet it. And
What'd she say?
She didn't bet it. She had trouble, she said, with the app.
What do you mean she had trouble?
I don't know. Something
what do you
happened?
Mean she had trouble with the app?
I don't know.
Hold on. She had the app
like, for, oh,
it had a little bonus on there? What do you mean she had trouble with
the app? I don't know. She said, I had trouble with the app.
I've had trouble with the app. In years past, this year, I did not have trouble with the app. But in years past, my app, the one I utilize.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, maybe just like all the volume on Derby Day or something.
That's what it seemed like maybe a little bit overloaded.
Maybe a little overloaded. Yeah.
And as usual, when I couldn't bet it, I saved myself money.
Well, that's true. The photo finish down to the wire at the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby. I still think it's fun. It's exciting. My son said to me, he is like Black and Abdallah. I mean, he's younger, but he's still like fucking him down. Because Chris and Adam are saying, nobody cares about the Kentucky Derby. I said, really? People don't care? Apparently not. I guess they're right. You got to be old. My son said, well, your generation's weird, Dad. That's legitimate.
No, he didn't.
150%.
Geo's the best.
True. He goes, wow. Boy, your generation's weird, Dad.
He goes, sees what? You in the box. He's like, goes high and inside.
A horse race.
Your generation's weird, Dad. Like,
what's happened here, though? What's happened with horse racing in the state of Illinois?
I don't know.
Arlington Park is gone. More about it, yeah. It's closed.
I don't know if it has anything to do with the state of Illinois.
I don't think it does either.
No, I think it's got to do with the state of horse racing, with Illinois being a prime example.
Maybe that could be.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to tell you. It used to be that horse racing had some following. It had a prominent section in the newspaper. That doesn't happen anymore. I'd say the high water mark was maybe the early 90s. And after that, the horse racing industry is in a state of decline, just the way it is. It's factual. One track closing after another track closing after another track closing. They turned one horse track down there into Sportsman's. They turned into an auto racing facility that lost everything.
That's right.
Anybody that invested in that thing lost everything. So you got no Arlington. You got no Sportsman's. You got no
Balmoral.
You got no Balmoral. Washington Park burned down. Nobody gave a rat's ass about it. So there you go. What happened to all the majestic tracks that you had in the city of Chicago where you could find horse racing and everybody with dates and meets, and now there's no money.
We're down to one.
And the purses are $13,000. Who the hell's racing for $13,000?
Yeah, we're down to one.
Nobody wants to. Meanwhile, where can you go? You can go to Indiana Grand and you go to Hoosier Park, and they're racing for real money down there.
Well, take it for what it's worth. This year's Derby drew the highest TV audience since 1989. Over 16.5 million people watched the Kentucky Derby. There are not many sporting events in this country. Really, there's only one, football games, that draw over 16.5 million viewers. There's football games, and we know that. Football's king. Nothing else draws 16.5 million viewers.
But they draw it for 10 minutes.
I guess.
They draw it for 10
minutes.
They
draw it for, I don't know, like, is that the peak? You're right. Who the hell knows? It's 5 hours of coverage. I watched about an hour of it. That's more than enough. I watched from about 5 to 6. That's all I needed. Saw the race. Saw some of the pomp and circumstance. Saw Elizabeth McCall, who we're going to see next week at Woodford. She's the master distiller. Yep. She was making the fancy one that they do for charity, the $5,000 Woodford mint julep.
Yeah.
They donate all that money to the charity that supports all the backstretch workers at Churchill.
Sure. Yeah.
So she was talking about that. She goes, look, we're not just getting rich off this. This money does go to charity. Do you know they sold those out? Because she was asked. She goes, do people buy a $5,000 mint julep? She goes, they're sold out. Pretty cool. So I saw Elizabeth. I saw about an hour's worth.
Well, you get a special glass with that.
Whole key.
Yeah.
You get the cup is like plated in 18 karat gold.
Yeah, yes.
And that's why it's so much money and you get to keep it, correct? It's like a commemorative. If you've got the scratch for it, why not? You're like, I don't mind $5,000.
Right.
God bless you. And you can go ahead and donate something to charity and get something memorable. And maybe this is for 5 minutes. I don't know. You're right. But 16.7 million viewers, the highest TV rating since 1989. I don't know. Young, old. I still think it's kind of fun. But I really like it when you make a little money on the ponies. And every few years, I feel like, you know, you might be able to hit one at the Kentucky Derby. And this was a good one. So, good job.
Congratulations.
Good job, Mystic Dan. And Forever Young came so close. The first Japanese horse, remember? That was, yeah. I did bet Forever Young across the board, too. Yeah, so that paid just a little bit.
Sierra Leone, and I mean, he had a ground-saving trip to three. It means he was on the rail the whole time, forced his way through, got to the front, and then the 2 and the 11 were basically beating the living crap out of each other while gaining ground at the end there.
Yeah.
Remember, the at Pimlico for the Preakness, it's 1/16 of a mile shorter.
1/16 of a mile shorter.
110 yards shorter.
Okay.
When they go to Pimlico next week.
And the Derby, so the Baffert horse will be the favorite, right?
Right.
He's got horses he can't
Mystic
run.
Mystic Dan's not going. Sierra Leone's not going.
I don't get that. Like, that's
the Japanese horses are already flying back to Japan.
You know what sucks is, like, that kind of kills horse racing. What, Mystic Dan won't even go for the
it's
Triple
2 weeks.
Crown.
They brought him back on 2 weeks after a victory, and he didn't do well at all. The horse needs 4 weeks to be able to recover. That's why the Triple Crown is such a taxing adventure.
And that's why, like, you can't, you know, a lot of times because of the value in the breeding shed, you don't even see these horses push
Sierra
it
Leone
anymore.
Was, you know what Sierra Leone was bought for, right? You knew the story.
$2.3 million.
$2.3 million. They knew she was going to be good, and she was. And let's face it, the Kentucky Derby's great, but the Breeders' Classic.
Well, that's for the
if
real
you
diehards,
that,
though,
if, and, well, again, it is for the diehards. The point is, though, the Breeders' Classic.
The Breeders'
you
Cup.
You win that race. Yeah. In the Breeders' Cup, the Classic.
The Classic, that's
the
big one.
Is the event to win.
Yeah, that's the big
one. If
point.
You win that event, and you get a chunk of change there, too. So all these horses will be heading toward
that.
The Breeders' Cup in November.
In the
yeah.
Fall.
All the races, you know, the Belmont, okay, great.
Yeah.
The Preakness, great. Then you got a bunch of stakes races leading up to
it's
that.
Just the Derby.
The Breeders' Cup.
Fun.
Yeah.
Kentucky Derby's fun. Paul's in Lockport. Hey, Paulie.
Hey, guys. Hey, you know how we got my kids interested in racing? We'd go to Arlington. We'd give them $20 to bet their horses. They tell us what they wanted. And when my son hit that long shot and took home $100, he loved betting.
There you go.
And loved the horses. So, but they don't have Arlington anymore. So,
well, you got Hawthorne. You know, what,
yeah, you got Hawthorne. So, yeah. And now they go to the OTBs and they love it.
That's good. All right, Paulie. Thanks, buddy. Durwood, real quick in DeKalb. What up, Durwood?
Yeah, hi, guys. Hey, we've had a party for 20 years. It gets bigger every year. We got Survivor Pool, a poker run, strip cards. This year we had the most people, and we had four kids that graduated in 2020, participated in all the knuckleheadness, and probably four high school kids, and they had the time of their life. We start in race eight.
That's good.
So, it's just a blast. It was a great day. The weather got us for a little bit right before the Derby, but... We survived. We were all kind of crazing by then anyway.
Keep it alive. So. Keep it alive, Durwood. Good job.
By 6 o'clock, I'm sure everybody was crazing if you started watching the races. First one went off at 10:30.
They keep pushing it back and back,
well,
right?
Well, it's like it's 1 hour between the 11th race and the 12th race yesterday.
One hour.
I mean, sweet Marie.
It's a long time. I know.
Usually it's 30 minutes, you know?
Pick up on that Woodford, baby.
Let's get these horses going. Everybody's all looped up.
We are headed down to Kentucky a week from today, Yerk.
We are.
Next Tuesday, we'll broadcast live from Versailles, from Woodford Reserve. You know, we were down there last year, and people listen on the app. Transplanted Chicagoans who still love Chicago sports and want to hear the station, want to hear us and Waddle and Sylvie and Cap and Hoodie and Black and Abdallah, they still listen. We had people swing by. It was really kind of cool. You know, when you do something like that, you're never quite sure. It's not like
yeah,
we're there with one of our teams and you're expecting a bunch of people to travel.
Right.
But we had mentioned all we'll broadcast live from Woodford, and we had, I don't know, half a dozen or more, probably dozen to 15 people swing by and say, hey, I live in Kentucky now. I live in Lexington. And just wanted to come and say hi to you guys.
Do we have our winners? Have we drawn our winners?
We pulled them on Friday.
Wonderful.
Yep, Adam had the randomizer wheel. We pulled our winners on Friday. I'm sure they've been made aware, and we'll get on the bus after the show next Monday. And next Tuesday, we'll broadcast live from Woodford. So if you down in Lexington or in the surrounding area and you want to come by and say hi, if you came by and said hi last year, stop by again. We're going to be at the Visitor Center at Woodford Reserve doing our show next
Tuesday. If I remember correctly, Monday night we got cranked up.
Yes.
Right?
Well, Tuesday we got really
cranked up. We had dinner and got cranked up.
Yeah.
But Monday we also got cranked up, but we had some responsibility the next day.
I made old fashions on the bus on the way down.
That was wonderful.
Am I doing that again?
I think that's the game plan.
It was fun.
Do you want me to get the maraschino cherries?
Yeah.
I got two bottles of Woodford at the house.
Do you?
Yeah, I could bring them with me.
I think you probably
day.
Should.
Right.
Yeah.
And one of them is the Joe Bedkowski barrel.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, the Bedkowski barrel.
What's the horse term? Break the maiden?
Break your maiden, yes.
Okay. So two fine producers are going down with you guys.
Are they breaking their maidens?
Well, one's Kevin. That maiden's been broken.
That maiden was broke, a long
Jack
time ago.
Jack is going
yeah.
with you guys.
Oh, Jack.
Jack? Dude. Young whippersnapper
we're
gonna, Jack.
We're breaking
you?
Jack McGrath.
You?
You, yeah.
My guy,
you.
You.
You. We're going to break Jack
you.
In.
That's a behind-the-scenes story. That was outstanding.
I didn't know his name at the time. I looked at him. I like to thank this guy. And you!
And you! Dude, yeah. We are going to break Jack in.
Yeah.
Last year, we had Charlie Bevins with us. I feel like we kind of broke Charlie. And I mean, Charlie's young.
That's why they're sending two producers this time.
We're in line at the hotel. We get off the bus. It's like 10 o'clock. We're checking into the hotel, right? I'm standing in front of Charlie. He taps me on the shoulder. He goes, Carm, I've never had to check into a hotel before by myself. What do I do? I said, Charlie, I said, you got a credit card, right, buddy? He goes, I got a credit card. I said, tell him your name, give him your credit card, you're good to go. He goes, that's it? I said, that's it, buddy. It's as simple as that. It's like, whew, okay, we're going to break Jack in. Jack's going to be like, I've never checked
like
into a hotel before.
Home tour, he's like, oh my God, it worked.
Yeah, right. He's like Kevin at the Waldorf or the Plaza, wherever it was in the Plaza Hotel. In Home Alone 2, it was so funny. All right, 312-332-3776. Lots from the weekend. We're going to catch you up on everything. Basketball, baseball, the Tom Brady roast. It's Carmen and York. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. If you missed something, get the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
You hear me, Carm? We ain't doing all that crazy walking we did last year. We walked 3.5 miles in Louisville last year.
No, we did not. We walked a mile.
I felt like I walked the same streets that Muhammad Ali once.
You did.
Once ran when he was training.
You did. You probably did. The great Muhammad Ali.
I'm like, no more walking, you know, across the street, maybe two blocks tops, okay? Ooh,
walking's good for you, okay?
Walking my aching panachkes, not when you're all looped up on bourbon. Walking's no good for you.
Carmen and York with you.
We went to that old hotel. Remember
the Brown,
that?
The Brown Hotel.
Yeah, we went there, the Brown Hotel, and got some cocktails there.
The lobby bars.
It felt like we were never going to get there. It's like that North Star. Look, it's right there. It's got to be close. And the more we walked, the further away it got, it seemed.
But it's well worth it, man. The Brown's great. That lobby bar at the Brown is fantastic. You got to go there. You talk about nostalgic. I mean, it's awesome. That hotel, that lobby's untouched for like 100 years.
Of the top 1,000 things that I've done in my lifetime, I don't think going to the lobby bar at the Brown Hotel in Louisville is anywhere near the top 1,000
really?
Things I've done in my life.
What do you think? I disagree. It's got to be. There aren't 1,000.
I'm scratching my ass on a Thursday morning. Isn't my top 1,000 compared
you're
to that.
Wrong. What is there something
you
that,
love places?
Is there?
Look, it's a building. Look at this. This building is great, isn't it, Yurko?
I do like history. That's true. Yeah, is there something that we've done on a trip together that would make the top 1,000, do you think?
Well, we can't talk about the one night. Whipped cream. Whipped cream and cherries, Carm. Whoa, what a special night we had. Yeah. That can't talk about that. Sorry.
Seriously, is there one thing? Can you think of one thing in the top 1,000?
Yeah, exactly. When you and I went and played the golf course, was it Butler?
Yeah. No, I meant like a trip when we were
That's me and you took a trip to the golf course. Right? We played Butler, right?
We did.
I mean, what the hell else do you want?
I can think of like 1,000 things. How about the time
we were
in Philly?
That's the one I gave you.
And Andy Reid invited us to practice.
That's another great thing that we had in the top 1,000. Yes.
I mean,
you can remind me of them all. You can think of them right now.
How about the time
you and me played Olympia? I like that. How about the time we got rained out at Olympia?
Yeah, that was. We got rained out once.
We got rained out once and we played 18 holes once.
How about the time we got to go to London together and broadcast live before a Bears game? How about the time that we got to go fun. Do a show from the Jameson Distillery in Dublin, Ireland?
We did go to Dublin, yeah. didn't we?
You guys God, got to see a team ball. Win a World Series for the first time in over 100 years.
Adam, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
You got to see there. The Cubs win.
That. Right.
You know, we were both on the field for the White Sox when the White Sox won.
I never was on the field. You, Mac, was, and Harry yeah. were. I was, and Sylvie Carl, and I were not on the field.
Carl Everett took his jersey and put it in his wife's bag. And said, these cheap SOBs are going to charge me for this.
Did he really?
So, yeah, he took his jersey out by the field, and he stuffed it in his wife's bag. She had one of them big bags yeah. like you take to the beach. He put it in there, and literally the words out of his mouth, these SOBs will make me pay for it. So he shoved the jersey into his wife's purse.
That's very Carl Everett.
Yeah.
I never heard that story. Yeah. That's really good.
Yeah. I was there on the mound.
There are a bunch of things that we've done together that would make your top 1,000, believe me. I guess the Brown was one. I won't drag you back there. Were you aware going into there. Last night that there was this Tom Brady roast? Like,
I was not aware of it, but as I was looking at my social media,
right.
I became aware of it and I had a chance and an opportunity to watch it and declined.
Oh, you didn't even put it on at
no,
all, huh?
I didn't want to watch.
Well, first of all, it was 3 hours long. I mean,
it's a bit. It's a long roast.
That's a long
that's
roast.
That's a long roast.
That's The Godfather 2. I mean,
yeah.
I was watching Game 7 of the Vegas-Dallas series. Great Game 7, by the way. Dallas with a 2-1 win.
That's NHL hockey, too, for those Thanks. Who are... uninitiated.
And on the other TV, I was one of 10 people in Chicago watching Sunday Night Baseball. I had the Phillies and the Giants on, but I, like you, had come across it on social media at one point, and so when the Dallas game ended, I did flip over to Netflix.
You flipped over,
and
huh?
I put it on. I only saw probably about the last, I don't know if that was maybe the last like hour of it. I can't believe it was 3 hours long. It was funny. The roasts are usually good. Like, Ross and Glazer and that crew are usually very good at this. I mean, it
yeah,
was
Yeah, the
raw.
Professional roasters are usually good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, it was raw and funny, and they went, I mean, like, it was, nothing was off limits. I can't tell if Brady was really upset with Jeffrey Ross when Jeffrey Ross made the happy ending joke
yeah.
at Bob Kraft's expense. The one thing that has certainly gone viral is Brady going up to him and whispering in his ear, but you can clearly hear it on the mic. He said, don't, he said something like, don't pull that bleep again. And Jeff Ross laughed. Now, that could have all
What's
been.
What's Brady going to do to Ross? Bat his eyelashes at him? What's he going to do? What's his plan?
It could have all been set up. It could have all been part of the act, too. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, I really don't know.
Was
I don't
that
know.
The only massage joke?
I believe it was, but again, I didn't watch 3 hours, you guys.
I wonder if that was part of some form of agreement where there was no massage jokes allowed, because we know how tight him and Kraft are.
I know.
So I wonder if Ross
snuck it in anyway.
Snuck it in anyway.
I'm wondering
if
they didn't.
He walked up to him and said, hey.
Maybe.
Because, like, the camera cut away for a little bit, because I saw that clip's been going around.
Yeah.
Cut away, and then it cut right back as you see Brady lean in for a second.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. It did. They were all good sports about everything, though, it seemed like. And a lot of people took a lot of abuse.
Belichick took a lot of abuse.
Belichick took a lot of abuse. He's just...
I have seen some of the highlights, Carm.
I thought it was funny how Kevin Hart got the two of them, how he got Belichick and Kraft to do a shot together. That was pretty good. I think Belichick was still a little reluctant, but he did it anyway. I love the way he was dressed like that. Like, who put that ensemble together for Belichick? Like,
he had a suit on, right?
No, it was like trousers, slacks, and a sport coat.
Going with the tie was a ridiculous choice.
It was ridiculous.
At some point, like, you know, Belichick. The tie can disappear.
You know, yeah, it just is like, this is
somebody telling Belichick
he's got to dress right. up, and he's like, damn it, I really have to dress up.
Gotta get the tie out.
That's what he came up with?
Right, but he's got a frumpiness to him, a natural frumpiness.
Yeah, it doesn't fit.
He totally does. The best joke of the night, I think, was this one from Nikki Glaser.
Tom also lost $30 million in crypto. Tom, how did you fall for that? I mean, even Gronk was like, we know that not real money. Like...
That was really good. She's hilarious.
So she took a shot at Brady and Gronk.
Yeah, Nikki Glaser's hilarious. And I thought that was the best one of the night. Edelman had a good one, too. This was funny.
Who's laughing now, Tom? Not you, because your face can't move and you don't have a sense of humor.
That's pretty good. Your face can't move and you don't have a sense of humor.
Well, I thought, what's his name? Who's the little comedian? Kevin Hart. Yeah. Kevin Hart had one about him losing the wife and the kids for a season where he went 8-9. Oh, he tagged him. I saw that again on the highlights.
Brady seemed like he was intoxicated when he got up there. Do you guys agree? He said it. He goes, I've been drinking a lot of tequila. This is like 3 hours long.
I've been drinking a lot of my tequila.
Not going to lie, Carm, didn't make it that far.
See, I only caught it at that part because I turned it on so late. I saw Manning and Brady towards the end because I flipped it on much later. I don't know that I would have made it either,
I only
Chris.
Watch the comedians that I like because I don't find it very funny when... Like, when Belichick has... Like, clearly someone wrote that. Like, that's Belichick.
Of course.
I don't think those are funny. Yeah. So I watched Sam Jay, I watched Nikki Glaser, and then I saw the clip of Tony Hinchcliffe walking up on stage and doing, like, 2 minutes, which was funny.
So I hope what they do is they reduce it down, make it down to make the funniest version of it.
Right.
Right? You get some of the crap out of there. You get the non-funny stuff out of there. And then bring me something that's a lot shorter... And make that the version that I can also see.
Yeah, like a truncated version of it, right? Yeah, it's too much. I'm with Chris. I wouldn't have made
a 45-minute version of it.
I lasted like 20 minutes.
I jumped in at the beginning, there's no way I would have made it to the end. Even though I thought there was some funny stuff happening, like what I saw, there's no way. I'm 3 hours for a roast. I mean, at some point, it's like, yeah, okay, we've heard the jokes, and his face looks funny, and he's got more hair than he's ever had at any point in his life, and it's like perfectly coiffed and manicured. And so okay, how many more jokes can we make about it?
With all these roasts, the best part of the roasts are the comedians making jokes about the other comedians.
Yes.
It's never the jokes about Justin Bieber or Donald Trump or Tom Brady, because those are classic roasts from Comedy Central's past. Like, those are not really the jokes I'm there for. I'm there for Glazer going after the other comedians. Or like Jeffrey Ross going after the other comedians. But I saw Ross's set, and it seemed like he was only focusing on Brady with the same three punchlines.
Right.
I was like, all right, this seems very catered to what is okay to joke about type of thing. And so I was out. Because Abdallah's right. Like, the other comedians are what makes these great.
Yeah.
So, like, I have zero interest in seeing athletes read jokes that other people have written for them.
Right.
That's not interesting.
And there was a lot of that. I mean, it really went.
There was a lot of Alex Guerrero jokes.
There were some.
There was a lot of Aaron Hernandez jokes.
Those are funny.
Those were great.
I mean, even Brady had an Aaron Hernandez joke. He said something about, you know, it's easy. Gronk should have been easy. There's three rules. Like, do this, this, and don't kill anybody. It was like, holy cow.
I'll say this. I saw Shane Norling tweet this yesterday, and I was thinking the same exact thing. When I realized that Anthony Jeselnik was not a part of the roast, I was like, all right, this isn't legit.
It's not?
The dude, he's the best at it.
Is he?
He wasn't there.
Yeah, you got, well, maybe you're right. I'll tell you one other thing, or at least I didn't see this live. I saw that it was, again, something that was going viral. Why is everybody mad at Kim Kardashian right now? Because of some beef with Taylor Swift? Is that right? Is that what?
No, I don't even think you have to think that much into it. Who likes Kim Kardashian?
Okay.
No, who likes them?
I don't know.
Nobody. I don't know.
I think
that's it.
Is that just the answer? Yeah. Nobody likes him. Okay.
Yeah. Who likes the Kardashians?
I thought maybe he still had to do something with Taylor Swift.
I don't think so. Okay. I just think that
people are sick of them. Okay, good. Well, it took long enough because I thought for a while they were kind of popular. Yeah, I had no idea what was going on last night. I was like, oh, is this publicized and promoted? But maybe.
Yeah, because it's this whole Netflix festival that's going on right now.
They have a live festival in L.A. this week.
So, like, Mulaney's doing, like, a bunch of live shows on Netflix.
Oh,
Cat Williams did a live special on Saturday night.
I'll let you guys know what to watch for. Be careful watching the Mulaney live shows. Those are boring.
Are they?
Holy cow. I get what they're trying to do.
I love Mulaney.
I know.
I like Mulaney too, actually.
I gave that a 30-minute run, and holy crap, I don't know how there's an extra 30 minutes.
So he's just doing live stand-up?
No. It's like a live late-night show in a studio audience situation, but it's not as polished as a typical late-night show.
I got you.
So it's him doing a monologue and then having two guests come out and discuss a topic.
Okay.
The first episode is about coyotes.
Like Phoenix or like actual real coyotes?
Real coyotes yeah. that live in Los Angeles.
Okay. Yeah.
So there's like a wildlife expert and Jerry Seinfeld what? Sitting out there talking about coyotes.
What?
And they're taking like phone calls from people who can call in to their late night show. It sounds like it would be great, except it's not working. And he has four more or five more of these.
And
he's
it's
doing
all
one every night this week. Oh, he's doing boy. One.
They're trying to go after the late night crowd. Okay. Well, I'll be watching basketball tonight. So game two between the Timberwolves and Nuggets. Look forward to that. Want to talk a little hoops with Yurk coming up next. If you want to join us to talk about anything from the weekend, you can jump in at 312-332-3776. It's Carmen and Yurk. We'll be right back.
Chicago's home for sports on Instagram at ESPN _Chicago. Carmen and Yurko are back.
No, no, no.
This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
No.
Hope everyone had a great weekend. Carmen and Yurk back live in our State Street studios. Watch us on YouTube. You can always watch the show, all the shows. You can follow all the shows. We have our own channels. If you've got the app going, just search at Carmen and Yurko. You can go to YouTube.com on your computer /@Carmen and Yurko and make sure you like and subscribe. You can catch up on things maybe you missed during the show. You can watch the show live. Lots of fun stuff there. Bleck and Abdallah always doing great stuff on their channel at night. There's White Sox baseball this evening as they go down to Tampa to continue their road trip after actually winning a series in St. Louis. Cubs also take 2 out of 3 and pull into a virtual tie with the Brewers atop the NL Central. We'll talk a little baseball coming up later. Game two tonight in Denver, though, as the Nuggets try to even the series. They were about a 4-point favorite in game one, ended up losing game one to Anthony Edwards and the Minnesota Timberwolves. And Anthony Edwards ripped off another 40-point game. In fact, he has now 3 straight games in the playoffs with 36 or more points, Yurko, and he's just the 4th player age 22 or younger to ever do that. Only the 4th. Now, for a long time, guys didn't come into the league as young, obviously, and went and played in college. Like, you know, MJ played 3 years in college before he got into the league. So we understand that it's sometimes a little bit skewed when we toss out stats like that. But it's still pretty impressive nonetheless. The only other players that ever do that, age 22 or younger, are Kobe Bryant, LeBron, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. That is it. So elite company that Anthony Edwards is keeping right now, and look, he's great. I mean, he plays with an exuberance and an athleticism that are fun to watch and noticeable, and he is locked in right now, and he just has that, like, I don't know, every time you hear him talk, he sounds like he's got that killer's mindset, mm-hmm. you know, that you kind of have to
have.
The
hit factor.
Yeah, he's just like, he knows he's the best player on the court, you know.
With Denver not playing some of its best basketball, and if you watch the first series, even though they won 4-1, they weren't playing their best basketball. And that first game, they weren't playing their best basketball. If they can't play better, they're done. Are they not? Minnesota's going to take them out. If they can't elevate their game has not been elevated throughout the playoffs.
Yeah, other than, I mean, look, it took 2 games that went down to the wire for them to win. Jamal Murray had to hit 2 shots over Anthony Davis to get them victories in 2 of the games in that series. Like, while that's fun and memorable, yeah, I see what you're saying. Like, in an ideal world, you're not coming down where you need 2 go-ahead baskets
you
by Jamal Murray in the closing seconds.
You can't live that way.
Right, it's a tough way to live if you're going to repeat, right?
You've got to win by 10-12. You've got to be able to stretch your legs a little bit and relax down the stretch.
Is there anything, though, that you take away from that game where you think, like, Denver should be worried? I mean, it was still a tie game halfway through the 4th quarter. Well, it was a little bit of a rock fight of a game. We knew that.
It's not so much at the end. It's not what I'm worried about. It's overall play. And the way they've been reckless with the basketball, that's the problem. They've been too reckless with the basketball.
Even Joker. I mean, it's a lot of turnovers for Joker the last couple games. It's surprising.
Yes.
It's surprising to see.
Yeah. So they just got to tighten it up. They got to tighten it up. Possessions matter. the possession at the beginning of the game matters as much as the possession at the end of the game.
Yeah.
You just can't piddle away possessions. They've piddled away too many possessions over the course of time. They're going to pay a price. At some point, they will pay the ultimate price, and they'll be out.
Really, it was the start and finish that were the difference in the game for Minnesota, too. They went on an 18-4 run to open up the game. Now, look, that's early in the game. You know, teams, especially teams like Denver at home, runs are coming. Denver had a lead. Denver had a lead in the third quarter. But they started on an 18-4 run, and then I think they closed on an 18-7 run, if I'm not mistaken, to win the game. So it was the beginning. It was the end. I'm telling you, when you watch Anthony Edwards, you can't help but think he's got a little, and I'm careful how
say
I say
the words.
This, but like he's got a little like MJ Kobe in him in the way he plays. You know, there aren't many guys anymore, Devin Booker maybe, certainly DeMar DeRozan, not to the level of these other guys, but like there aren't many guys who play sort of that, like they're comfortable playing that mid-range game. Anthony Edwards can take guys down into the post or free throw line extended, and he can operate there, and he's comfortable taking little turnaround fades like Kobe and Michael, and he can shoot threes if he has to. He can run the break. He can attack guys off the dribble. Like, there are so many different ways he can hurt you offensively. There's a lot of versatility in his game, and when he gets into that mid-range area and whenever he's in the post or, like, free throw line extended, like I said, you can't help but sort of see a little bit of Michael and Kobe in him, and just, like, the way his body looks and his athleticism, the way he attacks the basket when he wants to. And to be just 22, it's like a lot of people think this started with the Team USA experience last year, and, like, he's been a good player for the last year and a half or so. He's kind of blossomed, but he's like taking it up another notch right now. He's going next level, and he's forcing me to believe more in Minnesota than I've ever really believed. I've never been a big Rudy Gobert playoff guy. I think he I don't know, this might be harsh to say he hurts you more than he helps you, but I don't know. I mean, ask Utah. And maybe he was just a bad fit in Utah. Like on his own, Rudy with different teammates, Donovan Mitchell yesterday, phenomenal in the second half, different teammates. Maybe for whatever reason, like Rudy and Mitchell were just the bad. I don't know why. They're both great players. Maybe it was just a bad fit in Utah, but they never went anywhere. They never really looked as good as they were individually. They never looked scary or threatening in playoff series. And I've never been a believer in Rudy in playoff series. And, you know, he's obviously very, very limited in what he's going to be able to give you offensively. And he's a non-factor to the point where teams don't worry about guarding him. But, you know, it's kind of all with Ant, like that's the thing that can bring it all together, I guess, obviously for Minnesota. He can bring the best out of Karl Anthony Towns. He could bring the best out of Rudy Gobert and make sure that Rudy doesn't ever have to give them anything offensively. Maybe it'll work. You need that alpha, though. Towns isn't an alpha. Rudy's not an alpha. Mike Conley's too old to be an alpha. Naz Reid, awesome game yesterday. Not an alpha. McDaniels, great defender, not an alpha. Anthony Edwards,
alpha.
Total alpha.
Complimentary pieces around him.
Yeah, and so I've never been a huge believer in Minnesota, but if this is Anthony Edwards and he's arrived and he ascends like this, and like you said, if Denver doesn't clean up a few things, the defending champs might be in trouble. But Denver's got championship medal. They still have the best player on the planet. Let's face it, Joker's still the best player in the world. And as long as Murray holds up, boy, and the way Michael Porter's shooting the three ball right now, it's a long way from being over. And if Denver cleans a few things up, championship medal is going to go a long way to getting Denver back in that series and still potentially winning that series. I think I'd still pick Denver. I still would. I'll still pick Denver to win the series.
Say it officially.
Denver still wins the series, okay, even though they lost game one.
They got to clean it up, though.
See how they bounce back.
Got to get cleaned up, Carm.
Rudy Gobert is questionable tonight. He didn't participate in shoot-around, personal reasons, and a lot of reporters are pointing to that his girlfriend months ago announced that they were pregnant, so they think that this is something with that.
Wow, I didn't know that.
So he's questionable for tonight.
Thank you for that tidbit. That could change things a lot, and it definitely changes how they've got to guard Joker. And boy, like one-on-one, Towns and Joker, Joker's going to be looking to get him into foul trouble. Very
quick.
Interesting. Yeah,
quick.
Very interesting.
And that's the absence of two.
Yeah. Lunch Rush show a little bit later today. We'll do that about 1:30. We'll talk about our players of the weekend an hour from now. Lots of different candidates as it was an exciting weekend in playoff basketball and playoff hockey. has been great. I mean, after a dud of a weekend maybe 2 weeks ago to kick things off in the NBA, there's been a lot of great basketball. We saw two game sevens, and now we're into the second round. And speaking of that, the topic that came up earlier today that I'm always interested in this time of year, we'll discuss that coming up next.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Carmen and Yurko are back. This is Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
I said to you guys a couple of weeks ago, Yurk, you remember, I miss the springs where the Bulls and the Hawks were in the playoffs together. And I was thinking about it, watching the Rangers play, seeing what the Knicks are doing. Boston won a huge game seven the other night, so now they've advanced. And, of course, the Celtics earned a round two. Forget about just having them in the playoffs together, but, like, when they each win a round, how much fun that is. It's happening right now in Dallas. The Stars won a game seven last night.
Sure.
So you got the Stars earned a round two, so are the Mavs. In Boston, it's happening. It happens a lot in Boston over the last 20 years. Let's face it. We know what the sports scene has been like this century in Boston. It's been pretty damn good. It's happening in New York right now in the Garden with the two occupants. And it hasn't happened that often for us. You can go back to the mid-90s, and yeah, that's a long time ago. There's a lot of our listeners that were young, that weren't alive, let's face it. Wouldn't be able to tell you that in 95 and 96 that the Blackhawks were actually really good and, you know, in the conference finals. I think, in 96 or maybe 95, I guess they were in the conference finals. 96, they were in the semis. And the Bulls were making deep playoff runs, obviously, back then. They were both in their final in the early 90s, and that was awesome. But if you just look at this century, they haven't lined up all that well together. Early teens, yeah, when the Hawks were on their run. You had 2013 and 2015. Those are the only two seasons this century where they were each in the playoffs together and had each won a round. So they made it at least to the second round and got us to, you know, mid-May, where like every night we're watching one of our teams play. I miss those days, Yurk. They seem so far away.
They are things of the past, Carl.
Right? 2013 and 2015, that's it.
And you don't really need that with your baseball teams because the Bears start playing when it comes to the playoffs.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
So you got the Bears. No matter what the baseball teams are doing, you always have the Bears. If you get playoffs in baseball, it's a bonus. And even though now it's the easiest time than ever to make the playoffs, the Cubs and the Sox seem to find a little bit of a problem to get there.
Well, certainly the White Sox.
Yeah.
I think your Cubs are going to get there this year.
Do you believe that?
I do.
Is it going to be a wild card or is it going to be a division title?
I think they're winning that division. Look, I mean, the Cubs are tied for first, and they have two-thirds of their outfield is gone. Steele just gets back tonight. Justin Steele will pitch tonight for the first time since opening night
bullpen
in Texas.
Problems, kid.
Yeah, the bullpen
starting
problems
pitching
could be
has been
real.
Good.
Right.
What about Steele? He went out Steele. The only guy, Kyle Hendricks, there had a problem for a little while.
Yeah.
Six starts, I believe. But you're getting your start. Your starting pitching has been good.
Yeah, and it was
the
good.
The bullpen
good
has not been good.
Yeah.
The bullpen
has
not been good.
Like, the only loss was the bullpen giving it away on Friday.
And my switch hitting Thunderstick has started to play a little bit better. He was terrible for an extended period of time. He went through about 2 weeks there where it was just, it had fallen off the face of the earth for Ian Happ.
They're 21-14. Steele comes back tonight. They get the Padres for three. The Padres pitching has been terrible outside of two guys. Both those guys will go in this series.
Dylan Cease.
And they're both, they have Cub connections. Yu Darvish.
And Yu Darvish.
Goes tonight. Dylan Cease goes on Saturday afternoon.
I think the Cubs have played well against Yu Darvish since he's been gone. Yeah. Feels like every time Darvish comes to town, there's no Gouda for Yu Darvish.
Yeah, your guy Ian Happ has got his OPS plus up to 94, Yurk. He still only has one home run. So he's really not a thunderstick with one home run. But the on-base percentage is up to .355. Even though
he's like a Latin
hit
player.
A lot, he gets
he doesn't warm up until it warms up. You understand how it is? His power does not come until the sun is beating at about 80 degrees. That's how it works.
80 on Saturday. You could be right. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm telling you. He had a two-hit day that day, three-hit day. He had himself a day on Saturday.
You could be right about that.
Wow. Yeah. I know all about that. You know, I know all about that.
This guy's getting a good sell.
Anytime Ian Happ does something, I've got it. When he doesn't do anything.
Do you get alerts on your
phone? I got alerts on my phone. Anytime Ian Happ does something. Walk. The guy loves the walk.
I just
21 walks on the year for this guy. He leads the team.
Walks.
It's the only stat he leads the team in is walks.
Well, he's good at that. He knows how to get on base.
He had gone up to be like a war player. He has four tenths of a point early in the season. He had gone down to zero.
It's point
now
two.
He's back at point two. So
look at you knowing all the stats.
Hey, listen, he's my guy. You follow your guy.
How you like just climb on
like my guy Luka Modric, like Modric with Real Madrid.
I
clinched the title, by the way. Clinched the La Liga title with four games left.
Oh, did they?
Another trophy for Modric and Real Madrid.
Is that right?
Now, if they handle their business on Wednesday against Bayern Munich, they find themselves in the finals at Wembley Stadium against either Borussia Dortmund or PSG.
That's for Champions League.
Champions League.
They don't do playoffs. It's weird, isn't it? Or is
you
it
know
just
what this
me?
One would be for Modric? It would be number five.
Champions League number
Champions League number five for Modric.
Is it just
oh,
me?
Oh, no, this might be number six. Hold on, 10, La Decima, 11, 12, 13, 14 now. He's already got five.
You got five?
This would be his sixth Champions League title with Real Madrid since 2012, since he got there.
Do you want the ignorant American commentary on European soccer?
Yeah.
Why don't they play playoffs? They don't have playoffs? You just, like, seriously, you win the league, right?
You win your league. That's it. You like, got 38 games to win the league.
Can you imagine here, like, if at the end of the season, we're like, the Chiefs went 14-3, they're the champions.
But do you know in the championship division, for the teams that are going to jump up, the winner automatically goes up, and I think the next four teams play in playoff games to see who makes it up.
Okay, so that's at least
so they do
sort of
got a baby playoff in it. Am I right there, fellas? Did I describe that correctly?
Yeah, there's a baby playoff.
Yeah. Baby playoff.
But isn't that weird?
It's
can you imagine
playoff.
Here, like, if we just got to the end of the season, you're like, well, Boston won. The Celtics won 62 games. They're the champions.
Now. Basically, that's what you had for an extended period of time in baseball.
Yeah.
You had the winner in one division against the winner in the other division.
The league.
What are we really talking about?
Whoever had the most wins?
Yeah, right. They played the World Series
was,
then. At least
that was just the World Series then. Yeah. That's it.
Well, I know. There weren't as many teams, though, and there was still a playoff.
I mean, but it was very little.
I've always thought baseball adding playoff teams dilutes their product.
Yeah, it definitely dilutes the product.
The beauty of baseball is being the best team for 162 games.
That's the beauty.
The fact that there's no celebration for the team that's the best team for the marathon of a season is crazy.
You know why they do it?
Not
because
even
it opens
President's
it up
trophy.
To fan bases, right?
Yeah, I get it.
Why they do it.
I get it. Like the mistake, I would say, Carm, based on your thought there for American sports, like it's crazy to me that the MLS uses a playoff format.
Oh, really? Yeah.
The MLS should just run a table like the European leagues where whoever the best team is gets the trophy.
It's got everything to do with, like, American fans, you guys.
Yes. Right. And it's weird. And it's also weird that the MLS plays in the summer here.
Right.
Yeah. It's weird.
Well, they have to. They can't compete with everything going on in the fall.
It's still weird.
I'm surprised the MLS allows ties, like draws. I'm surprised that these Americans can't handle the concept of a draw.
That's funny.
Come on.
That's a good point.
The guy they ask is Lionel Messi, Suarez, Busquets, all those guys that have played in the major leagues across the country who now play for Miami, when they get to the playoffs, do you like it or don't you like it?
Yeah, I guess that's
so them are the guys that have played in both systems, so you ask them, what do you think?
By the way, can I tell you how much satisfaction I get out of the name Busquets? I don't know why. When you say Busquets, who is he?
Busquets, Sergio Busquets played for Barcelona.
Is he Spanish?
He is
Sergio Busquets.
He can still play. Too.
Can he still play?
Yeah. Well,
Barcelona says Busquets,
and I can tell you this: Barcelona doesn't realize how much they missed him.
Really?
They missed Busquets this year. They just lost to Girona again. Okay, and they're now in third place.
Oh wow!
Girona back in second place with Atletico Madrid in fourth. Hmm. Ask me to name baseball standings. Good luck. Good luck. Good luck to tell who's in first. I don't know. Third base. I mean,
Did you see? My Padres made a big trade over the weekend. Did you see that?
It was huge.
Did you know? Do you know who it is? He knows Busquets. He doesn't know a baseball
massive
trade.
Massive deal.
The reigning batting champ got traded today, Junior.
Today,
Luis Arraez got traded to San Diego.
I did not know that.
Yes.
From where to where?
Can you answer it?
No.
No, we're asking. Come on, Carm.
Tampa. He went from Tampa.
Miami.
Miami,
yeah.
Another team that was out of it.
The Marlins.
Yeah. The Marlins, yes.
Yeah.
The Marlins traded Luis Arraez. You guys are unbelievable.
Are you going this weekend? Or this week?
This week.
Are you going the next few days?
Mellor and I, we are the local president and vice president of the local chapter of the Friars fan club. I have youth baseball like literally all week, so I cannot make.
But you got that built-in excuse, don't you?
That is so great.
8 o'clock game tonight. 8 o'clock game tomorrow. What do you want from me?
But your team is in town. They're never in town.
Your team's in town.